this open may be cold, but this goss is hot.
Yeah, don't put your tongue on this opening. You might stick to it. We're talking about the Grammys today.
The continued horrors of misogyny around the world.
And also from around the world, we have a tip spot all the way from the other side, Miss Vanity of Wigs by Vanity fame. And right. Brenda, call me.
Plus, we're going to give some outstanding advice in exchange for pictures of genitalia. Keep listening.
That sounds fair.
Thank you.
Forever. Dog.
Welcome back for yet another steaming, piping, scalding serving of Hot Gossip. This is our weekly chat show where we talk about events in our lives, gossip and politics, and take a deep dive into the DMs. Let's get into some
hot
Ooh, scent birds. Ooh. Oh my gosh, scent geese. that's a stench goose.
Oh, the scent birds illustrious competition.
Yeah, we have scent birds and stench goose.
Honey, I'm having stench goose for Christmas this year.
Oh, you are. It's
Suckling
a tradition.
Goose.
It's tradition, yeah.
Yeah.
Suckling goose. It's what they call me on Grindr, gal.
Oh, I'm banned from there.
Finally.
Did you watch the Grammys this weekend?
No.
I watched the good parts.
Yeah, like I saw the clips of the pertinent moments. Mm-hmm.
Cardi B was in Amari.
Maybe she was.
She was in
Strawberry Sweetheart.
Mm-hmm, sure, for sure. Megan Thee Stallion was sickening. I thought Doja Cat. I never need to hear Say So again. And I never need to see Doja perform it again. She's performed it in, I feel like, she's done it in like big jazz 1920s. She's done country two-step. This one was like techno Doja trapped in trons. Like in the future, like
Gagatrondra.
Uh-huh, for sure. Yeah. But she was sickening. Dua Lipa. Yeah. God was present on this good fine day and awarded our goddess Gaga with another Grammy for Best Pop Duo with Ariana.
As it should be. And you know what? Lady Gaga was sleeping during the Grammy celebration, just like I was sleeping during the Queerties. So it's cinematic parallels. She's working on a feature, okay, in Italy, and that's fucking hard ass work. So she's like, "Oh, you want to send me a little trophy? That's so sweet, baby. I have work to do, honey."
Oh, you liked Rain on Me? Well, staying up in your time zone would be a drain on me, so I'll be sleeping. Please send the award to Bobby. Send the award, just Bobby will get it.
And, you know, she looked great while sleeping. I mean, Sarah Tano doesn't fuck around. She, even when she's asleep, she has good makeup. So she looks
That's
good.
That's hot goss.
Beyonce, with a total of 28 awards and 79 nominations from the Grammy Awards for her music, including Destiny's Child and The Carters, she is the most awarded and nominated woman and the second most awarded person in Grammy history, tied with Quincy Jones and behind conductor Sir George Solti. Wow.
Snaps for the queen. Yes, Beyonce.
Yes. That's
and those
fierce.
Outfits, making those masks fierce, and like the diamonds and the leather, she looked sickening.
Yeah, she looked amazing. She looked really, really gorgeous.
Did you see that giant Lucite drag queen stripper heel that the girl was playing around in the bar?
Yes.
I need one of them for the gigs.
The dancer inside the shoe looked like Sabiana, so shout out to Sabiana for... First of all, I mean... Megan Thee Stallion is absolutely outstanding as a performer. I mean, and so gorgeous. I am so blown away by her. And the styling during that WAP of the dancer, like the dancer looks, I'm like gonna have dreams and nightmares about those looks. They were so cool.
The Dua Lipa face masks that had like a ski goggle in pink and then a lip printed on them on the bottom. Mm. Those were sickening. I was really into those.
Very sister. You have to do the lip and glitter.
I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool night to of celebrating music and celebrating. It's not just music. We know people who have done the styling and the, you know, and the costumes and the fucking choreography and the stoning the of the microphone, you know.
Hello, what I mean? Disco Daddy.
Yeah. So it's really, really exciting to see a culmination of stuff that's really, really fucking cool. What do you think about the Drag Race finale? What could franchise? Happen?
Are you what talking about the United Kingdolls or America or Down Under?
Gossy Rossi.
There's so many to conjecture about, but I don't know. I think the final. I think the American Drag Race is just moving along swimmingly. The girls are gearing up for the finale, getting their looks together, getting their reunion looks. I'm sure they're very excited.
And I love it on the show. They're like, we are getting down to it, you guys. Like, there's only 18 of us left. Like, it's really getting down to it.
Can I tell you a little secret? Denali, after she went home this week, has been on as many episodes of Drag Race as Bob has. Because that's how long this season is.
Wow. Not bad. It's good for the geese. It's good for the stench geese. And it's good for the gander. Okay. I'm personally gander nonconforming, but
oh wow! Do you think that next year they're going to do the same thing where the girls lip sync upon entry again? I hope they do. I love a girl lip syncing on entry,
but it won't be a surprise to them. So they'll be like, "We know, we're not going home." The whole excitement of it was they were scared they were actually going home.
Well, I mean, it raises the stakes for the audience and the girls. So, like,
yeah, but now, if they do it a second time, it's not a surprise.
Who cares? But if they stop doing it, that makes it even less anticlimactic. It's going backwards. Oh. They raise the stakes, and then we'll lower them again next season. Like, they got to keep it up there. These girls need to prepare to jump through flaming hoops, flaming galah hoops. They're going to set the scent bird on fire. It's going to fuck a galah. Then that'll be on fire, and then it'll go in a hoop.
And it'll eat a bilby. Mm-hmm. A bilby pouch.
Ooh.
I don't know, but it'll be really exciting to see how this season shakes down. It's a great group of drag artists, and it's been really fun to watch. And I'm glad it's a jumbo, super size, extra long, extra thick season. I'm happy about it.
You know I won't ever complain about any of those things.
No, never, never.
Some people are complaining that Drag Race America isn't as exciting as Drag Race UK this year.
Who says that? Is that on the outline, or are you just bringing this up?
That's not on the outline.
No, it's true. Both of my roommates think that Drag Race UK is better than Drag Race America this year.
Well, you know, and you say this all the time, but it's like, do we always have to compare this drag queen to that drag queen, this season to that season? I think standing alone, both seasons are great shows. Look, Top Model has 30 countries that do cycles. Do we sit around and say, well, Australia was a little bit better than New Zealand Top Model?
I mean, I don't want to compare, but I will come cantaloupe.
Compare. I'm compare shaped.
Yeah, we'll let the Drag Race UK girls tell us a little bit about what's going on in their sector of the kingdom this week. They take deep dives every week UK. Latrice and Manila are girls on the British beat.
They're on the British beat. And I loved listening to The Chop this week because they spoke a little bit about like pantomime and what the panto dame is, which is great context. So we are providing, we at Mom and the Queens of The Chop are providing a vital service. And it's really fun to listen to as well. Other mom updates.
I was going to say, let the people know that you two will be on The Chop doing a whole season two retrospective the week after the finale.
We've been invited for a retrospective. They want to know our views on important drag issues.
Did they clear it with the press office?
You are the press office.
Honey, Valerie Jarrett's going to have a fit.
Valerie Cherish isn't happy about it either. No, we're going to be popping on over to The Chop. So
Pop
wait,
chop?
We'll be guests next week. Is that happening that fast already?
Yeah, the finale was yesterday, basically, when this comes out. So,
and they're gonna have Jinx on to talk about the finale, and then the week after, it'll be the
close your mouth,
you.
Dear.
Oh, so I see. You have to win your original season to talk about the finale. Is that what
you're gonna talk about the whole
yet again? Yet again. Just the old wounds are just open, right? I'm just kidding. No, that'll be exciting. So we're going to be on the Thursday episode, is what you're saying.
No, you're going to be... Sorry, I was very unclear.
You did account for daylight savings, correct?
This says...
And it's not a leap year.
This
Don't
says
you fuck
next
with us.
Week.
Yes.
This says we will be guests next week. And I understand we're not recording this in real time, but still, this comes out on Friday. On Tuesday is Jinx Monsoon.
Yes, so I apologize. You will be on The Chop on Tuesday, March 30th and Thursday, April 1st.
That's oh, when you will appear. We get a double dip.
You're going to do a double feature.
We have a guest arc.
Science fiction double feature, honey. Yes, cherry peck multiple episodes. Pussy. Yes. No, that'll be so fun. I love The Chop. I can't wait to talk to the dolls all about Season
all of
two
them.
UK dolls.
We have some other big news in the mom world. One of my Ooh. Favorite designers, Isaac Mizrahi, is going to be on Bury That with Zelda and Raja. And you know this. The girls love their fashions. You
they
know they
do.
Love their
they
their
do.
Shopping moments. And this
wow.
is going to be... Isaac has the gift of gab also. He's a great talker.
That'll be so exciting. Girl, Bury That is my Monday tradition. I love it, honey. Rainy days and Mondays don't get me down because Bury That comes out on Mondays. And on Sloppy Seconds today, Big Dipper and Meatball are interviewing Drag Queen of the Year contestant and winner of the presentation category, Chikatita. Chikatita is on Sloppy Pod. So she'll be talking all things DQOY. I can't wait to listen. She's
outstanding. I hope she doesn't forget her fur. the Mom Network has many, many, many announcements that we would love to tell you about, but we can't. But we will
Secrets.
Soon.
Big projects in the works, everyone. Can't wait to share with you.
You guys, we're going to make an announcement about a big announcement we have.
But really, there's some fun stuff in the works, so we can't wait to share it with you.
Make sure to swipe up and use code CHASER, porpoise.
CHASER 92. We have a rainbow spotlight this week. It is a well-known fact. We do like to spotlight people within our community. This is a song. This is a song by Rigel Gemini, not Raja Gemini, Rigel Gemini. And this is a song called Coffee
Jesse's
in My
daughter.
Cup.
Let's hear it, Rigel. Ooh, T.S. Madison's in it too, doing a little pop-up.
In the music video, yes, I can't wait to listen. We'll be right back.
I got a little secret that I think you know. You could stay and then we could give it a go. I like it just a tad sweet and on the low. Full bodied, a hotter toddy. Been seeing spotty, got my vanilla syrup. Pump it up, stir up. Cocoa, cacao, standing my fur up. Nitro, cold brew, sleepless nights. Got a little something brewing just for you. Alright, alright. Caffeinate, yeah, I know you wanna watch while I caffeinate. Cause you know that I can take it like a champ. I know I'm the man. Grind it up and put it in the can. Got a little plan, think about that
coffee in my cup. I want that coffee in my cup, so go ahead and hook me up. I want that coffee in my cup. I want that coffee in my cup. I need that coffee in my cup.
dark and extra fine. I get a little hot and bothered every time. You take it there and then I push it across the line. I got no filter, get off your kilter. Got something bitter, got a turmeric latte. Pour it up grande, bold and smooth. Yeah, double shot my way. Tip it down, throw it back, serve it up. I really need your special something in my cup. What up, what up? Percolate. Take your time, I don't mind, so let's percolate. Take taking yours, make it mine. What shade, grown free trade, rocket fuel. Got me acting like a fool, anything to get that.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
This news comes from Coinbase.com. Okay. NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, are a special kind of crypto asset in which each token is unique, as opposed to fungible assets like Bitcoin and dollar bills, which are all exactly the same amount. Because NFT is unique, they can be used to authenticate ownership of digital assets like artwork, recordings, or virtual real estate or pets. In February 2021, a 10-second video by an artist named Beeple sold online for $6.6 million. Around the same time, it must not have been a Sessions Live. Around the same time, Christie's announced that it would be selling...
Why are you having a problem with Sessions Live, bitch? Keep reading.
Around the same time, Christie's announced that it would be selling a collage of 5,000 all-digital works by the Wisconsin-based artist, whose real name is Mike Winkleman. It was put on a virtual auction block with a starting price of $100, and on March 11th, it sold for $69 million. Beyond the higher prices, there was one other fact that observers found fascinating. In exchange for their munties, collectors who buy Beeples don't receive any physical manifestation of the artwork, not even a framed print. What they do get is an increasingly popular kind of crypto asset called NFT, short for non-fungible token. If somebody tries to tip me in NFTs, you're going to get the back of my lube, honey. I don't want you to like call me down like you're going to tell me something important in my ear and then just say, I gave you an NFT. You can't see it or touch it, but it's yours.
Girl,
if I can't put an NFT into somebody's underwear later on the way back to my dressing room, it's no fucking NF. No fucking
tea. Hey.
Yeah, no fucking tea at all. So when I still don't know what.
What was that stripper club we went to in Portland that one time?
Silverado's or Stag?
Victor Belmont was the.
That one was Stag because I got a laugh from him. A couple of
Yeah, you did. You got
a lot.
You got a lot of things.
I had a little dance.
You were doing a lot of things in the back room, and it wasn't dancing.
Have you ever been tipped in NFTs?
Maybe. Okay. No, I mean, this is all still a very new territory, and you never know. I mean, you know, things change really rapidly in the world of tech and in culture, and I don't know. I mean, right now, cryptocurrency is something I have no knowledge of and no really interest in, but I think it's very possible that within a few years, this could be a real ass thing that we are getting tipped in fucking NFTs or Bitcoin or whatever. I think it's possible.
Maybe the pageant winners next year can win their $10,002 in Bitcoin. They say, I'm Little Miss Bitcoin Bussy 2022.
Bitcoin Bussy. We have a segment that we call Let's Get Political. I'm sure that you have heard by now of the hate crimes in Atlanta. This comes from the New York Times. The gunman who went on a rampage at three spas in the Atlanta area, killing eight people, told the authorities that he had frequented massage parlors in the past and launched the attacks as a form of vengeance. The brazen shootings, which took the lives of six people of Asian descent, stirred considerable outrage and fear in the Asian American community. Investigators said they had not ruled out bias as a motivating factor, even as the suspect denied such racial animus once in custody.
Well, he was screaming that he would kill all Asians, so I understood why they're I don't understand why they're not ruling out bias. Like, it's clear the man was biased. This is a targeted hate crime and terrorist act. He went into the gold spa and was screaming all of this. And then in a press conference one day, the law enforcement official said the gunman was having a bad day and this is what he chose to do. Like, that's how they treat. It's shocking that all these white terrorists, they somehow make it out alive.
Right.
Like, and they're treated well and they get Burger King on the way to the holding cell when, you know, other Americans.
Are asleep in their beds,
or, you know, trying to break up a fight and they're shot seven times in the back in front of their kids. It's crazy.
This needs to be called immediately what it is, which is a hate crime, and it's also domestic terrorism. My heart is aching and going out to the families of the people who were killed, of everyone in the Asian community. This is why a figure like the former president, the former disgraced, twice impeached president, is so dangerous, because he would throw around words that were racially charged regarding coronavirus, and sort of placing blame on an entire, like, baselessly.
Continent.
Right. And so that affects people. That affects people subconsciously or consciously. And then things like this happen. And it's so fucked up that the culture of hatred and ignorance has been propagated by so many people. It's got to stop. I mean, this sort of Asian hatred has got to stop.
And moving toward a more misogynistic hate, we have police violence in the United Kingdom, where men once again abused their power and killed a woman. A male cop killed a woman, and women's rights activists in the UK are still reeling from the Metropolitan Police's heavy-handed approach at a vigil for that woman, Sarah Everard. She was 33 years old. They were having a Saturday night vigil for her, and she was murdered while she was walking home. And at the vigil, like, the people were harassed and just told that they were breaking COVID laws, and then they were trying to, like, corral them and, like, basically ordering people to leave or face arrests or get fined, like, because they were protesting the people that killed this woman. It's nuts.
And so, wait, okay.
There's this cop, he was accused of murdering a woman, and he did. And
the police were giving them a hard time. The people
when they were doing a vigil for her. Throughout the day, these mourners had flocked to the bandstand at Clapham Common, which is an area where Everard was last seen, in a tribute to her life. But they also came as an act of solidarity because it was an acknowledgement of the shared and omnipresent experience of intimidation, violence, and harassment that women constantly face in public spaces. A series of evening vigils from the organizers of Reclaim These Streets had been planned Saturday across the UK, and the main event at Clapham Common was canceled after the Met said that they couldn't go ahead, citing coronavirus restrictions. Shocking. But by the nightfall, the mourners had gathered in the socially distanced event in Clapham, and the attendees were chanting, "This is a vigil. We do not need your services." Mm-hmm. But an hour later, all the officers moved in to inform the people that they were breaching COVID-19 regulations. And then a predominantly male cluster of officers moved in using containment and corralling techniques where officers surround demonstrators to keep them in a particular place, making social distancing impossible, and then ordering people to leave or face arrest and fines.
And it got physical too.
Girl.
If you put women in charge, I think everything will be better. Honestly, we need a year without men in charge.
That's tea. That's deep tea. And also fucking gun control, please.
They have it over there. I thought they don't. The British cops don't have guns, right?
That's correct. But I'm thinking in this country, because we have an incident like what happened in Atlanta with the shooting of a bunch of people. I mean, this is something that happens in America over and over and over again. And mm-hmm. and fucking gun control needs to be a really fucking major part of it.
I mean, for gun control to be like a real thing in this country, we have to eliminate the gun industry giving money to the government who won't pass laws against them.
Right.
So, I mean, it's all like one giant circle jerk and nobody gets to eat the cookie at the end.
Right.
Well, we're going to get a little cookie coming up because we got a tip spot.
We do have a very exciting tip spot coming up right after this break. Oh my gosh, girl, you know, sometimes the girls for the tip spots are not on time, and we told them there's a strict time frame for the show. We are on a tight schedule. However, she came all the way from Australia. She was able to be on time. Why can't the rest of you girls, you know what, we're going to continue this later. Right now, we have a tip spot we'd like to introduce. She is beaming to us all the way from Australia. She is one half of the duo of hostesses from the hit new podcast, Brenda Call Me. This is the one and only Vanity.
Oh, hi, girls.
Hi. Do we say Vanity Fair or is it just Vanity?
No, I dropped the Fair so long ago. Like when I got back from London, I was like, I don't want to be like, because it was obviously named after a magazine, which was cool in the noughties.
Right.
And then, because, you know, back in the day when you had to have two names and have a first name and a surname as a drag queen. And then right. when I came back from London, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I want to be like the Sin. Fuck the magazine. And so right. then I was like trying to, you know, like Cher or Kylie or Madonna or whatever.
One word diva. Yes.
And Courtney just couldn't get it. She was like, I don't understand why you're dropping, why you're changing your name. I'm not changing my name. I'm just literally just dropping the Fair. And now I'm just Vanity. Like the Sin. She just like the still, Sin. I don't think she can still wrap her head around it, but you know, that's Courtney.
Well, maybe if she got her head out of her Dunny Mari, she could figure it out.
out of her what?
Her Dunny Mari. It's the Mari that she wears on the toilet to poop in. And we try
to call the Mari.
Oh, sorry, the Dunny Katya.
The Dunny Katya.
And she told, always be the Mari to us.
Yeah. Yeah, she told us that we were allowed to burn it at Burning Man, and we brought it with her. And then she stole it back and hid it in the RV and wouldn't let us burn it.
Well, have you ever burnt a synthetic wig?
We know it would have melt, but she would have been running around, so we think the fire would have burnt out by the time it hurt her. We were going to do it on her, too.
Yeah, on her head.
Yeah.
I was expecting some sort of ceremonial, like, you know, like some pit in the desert, in the sand.
So are you?
Anyway, because, oh yeah, so go on.
Are you currently still up from Mardi Gras?
No, no, those days are long gone, girl. No. I did have a couple of, Mardi Gras did last until 5 p.m. on Sunday.
Oh, we saw the pictures.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's so fun. So it was lots of fun. It was so much fun. And I don't regret a second of it, but the old rubber band doesn't bounce back like it used to. Like, right. You know, it's taken me a long time to sort of get over that, which is why I didn't want to go to Mardi Gras, or sort of wasn't allowing myself to go to Mardi Gras, because I just know exactly what I'm like. I'm just, you know, just a loose cannon, and give me a cannonball and I'm booming.
Isn't the tradition... Right. Is it the tradition that you and Courtney had, that when you do Mardi Gras, I mean, it's a major celebration. The tradition is no one gets out of drag ever, right? Is that the thing?
That's just not Mardi Gras. That's any kind of celebration, any kind of gathering.
That's the Diva of the Year Awards.
That's the Divas, that's the New Year's. It's like anytime there's a congregation of drag queens, it's like, I believe, it's like, and you're on it. Like, I mean, it's not like we're not sipping champagne and then like trying to stay awake. It's like, it's not that kind of party. And are we allowed to talk about that? Oh, yeah, we're allowed to talk about it. Oh, you talk about drugs all the time on your podcast. So, like, I don't know. I mean, those days are long gone for me now, really. I'm very pleased to say that as almost a 43-year-old man to finally have come to that point where I can actually be a responsible adult-ish.
Wow.
But back in the day, yeah, that was like, you know, no one gets out. The party is never over.
So it would just be like you staying in drag and seeing how drag dissolves over the course of a long night into the next morning is one of my favorite thing. I want to do it. I want to do that.
Same. Oh, same. When I was younger, I would be like so precious about the way I looked, and I looked glamorous and perfect every moment. Always touching up, always. And then I got to about, I don't know, in my early 30s, and I was like, "Nah, the dissolving of the drag is what makes this event special."
Yeah.
I knew one Mardi Gras. I didn't even take my makeup off. It just removed itself.
Yeah.
It literally just dissolved off.
Have you been dancing to Chromatica in the clubs now that COVID has gone down there?
I am the worst gay in history because I have not listened to Chromatica.
It's okay. There's still time. Gaga's forgiving.
Beep, beep, beep.
I know.
Wait, you've never listened to Chromatica?
So we did once when my friend She Beast was over and we were drinking and we had it on the background.
She Beast?
Like,
okay. I love that name.
Yeah, drag name She. Yeah, she's great. It's a great. It suits her too. She's a beast. And in the best way. And we listened to it in the background. And I was like, oh, okay. Is that it? And I was like, okay. And to me, I wasn't really paying attention. And it just sounded like the same song on like repeat. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, I've heard it now. And I never went back and listened to it again. So okay. I know, I'm sorry. I can see Alaska seething. I'm so sorry. And I feel like a terrible guy. I didn't even watch The Star Is Born.
What? We're going to have to screen our guests better, Dipper.
Thank you
We're
so
gonna
much
have
for coming
screen.
On our podcast.
We're going to have a more hefty screening
I know,
process.
I know. I'm a terrible person. I don't understand why.
You didn't watch
I'm
A yet. Star Is Born. Willem has lines in A Star Is Born.
I know.
I was wearing a WBV.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's not too late. Gaga's forgiving, apparently.
She is very forgiving.
It'll be on a plane, don't worry.
But speaking of WBV, what is new in the world? If the listeners don't know, you are the founder and the head of the company called Wigs by Vanity, which we talk about
co-founder.
All the time.
Co-founder.
Okay. Yeah.
The best wig company in the world, honestly.
It is.
Oh, thanks, girls.
It truly is the industry gold standard when it comes to wigs, is a Wigs by Vanity. So what is new and hot in the world of wigs and Wigs by Vanity? What's going on? What's the gossip? What's the tea?
Well,
Megan fighting.
Pam and Megan fighting. Anyone named Megan's fighting. But first of all, thank you for all the fabulous shout outs. I appreciate it and love it. I think it turns that little part of my black soul.
I mean, they're just the best.
When we walk into a club and a girl goes, "Ooh, is that a vanity?" No, I can tell. And you're like, yeah.
Oh, it's nice.
your station.
Look, I tell you what. Well, as you know, we're in the Great Wheat Famine, the COVID-19 Wheat Famine. Which has affected all the knotting of the hair knotting of wigs. And we have a few theories of why that's the case. And one of the theories that I think is, you know, accurate is that it's all hand done and it all requires a lot of labor to do. And so a lot of people are working in this industry. But because it's so fiddly and so hands-on-y and crafty, I think that that industry has been transferred to making PPE. So I think it within the industries in China, like I don't know. I'm just guessing. It's a theory. And I heard it from a few people. But there is a link in the chain of making lace front wigs that has stopped. So at the moment, we've kind of almost like I've resigned to the fact that I'm not making lace front wigs at the moment at all. But we had a whole bunch. We had like a huge amount of wigs on order before COVID just to keep everything going because they could take up to a year to make for me because I was so particular. Like they wouldn't send them. I'd send them back. Like it was like, you know, that's why like my standard was so high. And you know, you always saw like, you know, I'd sell something. I'm like, this isn't perfect. This isn't right. I'm discounting this because of this reason, this that reason, because it's, my standard was so high. So for me to actually get the wigs from ordering, designing into my hand on the shelf, it took a long time. So I had a whole bunch of orders on order and we canceled them. And we're like, let's just scrap it. We got our deposits back. We've transferred them into different wigs. And so now we've designed the Glam & Go range, which is like fabulous.
Shazza.
Going back to basics, baby. And it's so funny because the kids are like, oh my God, I can't believe you invented a hard front wig. I'm like, bitch, I didn't invent a hard front wig. Like,
you invented it.
Where would it be? Like, they've only ever known lace fronts. It's like, right. It's what we used to do back in the olden days.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, some of these girls should be happy that hard fronts are coming back in because that means some more of them will be wearing bangs and we won't have to see their crusty lace if they don't want to clean.
Yeah. They don't want to clean the lace. And some lace front wigs, just because it has a lace on it, doesn't mean it should be pulled off the face. Like, doesn't mean you should be exposing that lace. Like,
no, some of those lace fronts are like,
yeah. Well, I'm gonna be more politically correct than that.
But I don't mind telling girls they're ugly. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I think that having lace front, having hard front wigs again as an option is a great thing. Because it's like, because you know, the trend was changing anyway, and lots of people were getting bangers cut into their lace fronts anyway. And I'm like, why? Right. Why are you even wearing a lace front? Like, you're wasting all that person. Someone has sat there and knotted hair by hair, individually, strand by strand, for you just to fucking cover it up. So, and that's the thing about the really shitty lace fronts as well. But again, there's this, like, fly screen wire, like, chicken wire.
Right.
Face, like, a hard line of knotting. You're like, someone still had to put the work into that, and that looks rubbish.
Right.
So it's, I like the fact that there is a new option that we can now, you know, use.
That's
not that there wasn't ever a new option, but
that's some Nicole Kidman pussy to have a perfect full lace, full 360 lace, and then she does bangs in it. That's Nicole Kidman.
Well, you need that moment for when you lay back down on the bed and your hair brushes and oops.
Yeah,
it's real.
I've worn a Nicole Kidman wig before.
You have?
I've had one of her wigs on my head. Yes. I was working.
Tell us.
Which one?
Practical
Magic.
No. I was working on the Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know which wig it was. All I know is like because I was working for Pirates of the Caribbean, and the people that did the Pirates of the Caribbean, like Owen Phillips and Owen King, had this like they're amazing in the industry, in the film industry, and they had this huge collection of wigs. They do wigs for everyone, all the big films, and the Pirates of the Caribbean had this huge extras cast of all these, you know, like, you know, Pirate Caribbean, I don't know what that was, I don't know what they're called, French provincial, you know, 18th century, I don't know, actually, I don't know, maybe I'm just pulling numbers out of my head. Anyway, these period wigs. So anyway, so because I was on this big, you know, extras, you know, additional roster, I was there doing maintenance on all the wigs and I was just going through them and looking them all and I turned one over just by chance and one had Nicole Kidman's name in it and I was like, oh my God. So I ran around the back of the dressing room and put it on my head, took a photo, can't find the photo. It's obviously completely like, you know, confident. You know, you're not allowed to do that sort of shit on film sets. But that was my experience with Nicole Kidman's wigs. And you know what? It was just a standard lace front. I mean, it would have been beautiful in its day, but by stage it'd been like, you know, ridden hard and put away wet.
She doesn't like to talk about her wig. She'll end an interview if you mention wigs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just say, she'll call like it stupid questions. She really does not support the wig industry.
We, however,
yeah, it's a shame, isn't
do.
It? Because like, what's I don't know what the shame of it is, really.
Right.
But maybe because her hair is, it's I think it's because her hair is so terrible.
Wow. Like, well,
not she's got beautiful hair. We've seen it when it's natural, but like, I think what's happened over the course of her,
years of,
you know,
straightening and bleaching.
Years of straightening. I don't think her hair is now of a nice enough quality to wear it out. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Here we it's are, not natural like yours.
No, it's not. Perfectly natural. It's all mine.
You're the days of Thunder Study.
Yeah, no. Beam expanders.
You
but I
want are...
to say congratulations to you girls. You're like so
oh my gosh.
Smashing it. Like, I just, you're everywhere. Congratulations on all your business endeavors.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
And we appreciate your podcast as well. Tell us where we can follow you, where we can find the podcast, where we can get some hard fronts.
Well, you can get hard fronts from wigsbyvanny.com. The podcast is available everywhere you listen to podcasts. I'm sure wherever you listen to this podcast right now, you'll be able to find Brenda Call Me.
Brenda Call Me. Good song.
I'm very not gonna sing good. Along. It is a good song, really catchy song. It's a real pleasure to record it with you know, my sister, and have a great time. It's sweet. It's a lot of pressure though, because she's so good at her job. And like, she's really good at her job, and it just, it's a lot of pressure because I'm just a bit shit, you know, like I'm just a normal person and she's a robot. So it's like, it's hard sometimes to sort of come up to her standard.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Gosh.
Like, I want to talk about fun things, and then she's like talking about political things. I'm like, okay, yeah, absolutely, sure. Let me just get my head around this.
You know, Courtney's only allowed to have 7 minutes of fun a day.
Yeah, but she's about to in her programming.
Yeah.
but it's lovely, and we've got a great team around us as well, which is nice, and it's a very easy, lovely job. It's a very nice, rewarding job. I'm enjoying it. So we're up to episode 6. We just released episode 6 today. But you're up like, this is, Hot Goss is like 90. This is like 90, I don't know what this is, 90 something. And how many episodes of Race Chaser have you done?
Let me count the scratches. I don't know. Probably
Hot Goss is 90. And I don't know the Race Chaser numbers.
I feel like Race Chaser premiered on July 18th.
2019.
18.
Yeah.
Lit.
What?
And we've never skipped a week.
Wow.
Wow.
Race Chaser.
Well, wow.
You must be so
someone
thankful.
Someone will do the math.
When the world closed down, you guys must be like, oh, fucking yes, we scored. Like, we were already on top of it.
I mean,
it's a blessing. And it's been a gift that really... really has helped keep me sane during the sort of shutdown of everything that we knew drag to be. Just getting to like connect and like do this on a regular basis has been really fucking
awesome. Having the routine.
I mean, it's nice to have like so many mediums to do drag now, but this podcast has really helped us continue our like steady tirade and beratement of Courtney Act.
Which is really the cornerstone.
You know how you need to keep your pretty friends in place and stuff and like gaslight them. So we've been continuing to do that through our podcast.
Oh,
and we are at 247 episodes.
Yeah.
247 and a half actually now. We're gonna take a break. Thank you so much for joining us for the Tip Spot Vanity.
Tip Spot.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, ladies. It's a pleasure to see your gorgeous dolly eeks.
Everything must
you
be tiger
too.
Print.
Absolutely.
Yes. Take care and stay safe.
Bye, you too.
You too.
Mwah, bye. Bye. Bye.
You. Brenda.
Oh my gosh. Oh, are you wearing a full length ostrich feather for the cave? Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
are
I just you? Thought something fluffy, something light that wouldn't get caught in the stalactites.
That shoe is not, but that strappy sandal shoe is not practical for this segment.
They say always wear a closed toe in a cave, but you know, I'm wearing this Dayglo toenail polish, so I thought like I could let my toes lead the way.
It'll light the way.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the
bridges I've burned.
This is a segment that we like to call Spelunking. Deep inside the DMs.
This first section comes from Thomas. Thomas says, I have a bone to pick with you. Hello, Alaska Willem and Big Dipper. This better be about wings. That's the only bone.
Ooh, a bone.
I am emailing because, unfortunately, I have a bone to pick with Willem. In an episode of Beatdown, and I'm not quoting directly, Willem said something to the effect of, when you are giving someone head, when your jaw starts to hurt, get sore, that's when you start doing the alphabet, upper and lower case, with your tongue on their head. Okay. Now, as Willem knows what she is talking about, I took her advice. I now realize that she was joking because I have a few very confused encounters since then. I would like to know if you had any real tips for giving good head. Love the pod and thank you for your help, Thomas. Hey, this only works on butts and vaginas. This doesn't work on dicks. You can't, because the dick would be the one doing the spelling, because that's, you know, like, this is not how, no.
Well, he thought you meant you do that on the tip of their head. They're like,
well, he must
head.
Not have gone to biology.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, see, this is educational.
Tomas needs to find all the nooks and crannies that the English muffins have and practice.
Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any tips?
Well, I would also say it's very hard to get any very serious advice from this program in particular, because you can never tell when we're just fucking around, whether we're joking, we're saying something blatantly false, or we're just quoting a movie and not trying to give advice. We're just quoting the movie The Birdcage. So it's very hard to tell.
Don't forget when we try to mislead people on purpose and gaslight.
We do very often. But yeah. Thomas, try the alphabet trick on the butthole rather than on the dick, and I think you'll be in good shape. Okay. The next message comes from Jeff. Hi, Divalicious and Big Dipper Dip Dip. Deep friend of the pod, I was diving into the deep archives on YouTube and found myself revisiting the drag star at sea cruise Michelle Visage roast, where Alaska and Willem both participated. This letter's gonna get cut. Willem, you helped Alaska glue her nail back on. What actually happened during the cruise? The first Mimi I'm First slaying the roast, Pandora Box being bullied on stage, and what was the process like writing the jokes? Looking aside the offensive slurs that were being thrown on stage, what do you ladies think about how humor has changed? Attaching a picture of me in a jock. I know, how original. Regards, Jeff.
First of all, whore, you're going to send a jock picture and just show the front. That's my first problem. Second of all, we
also bullied Pandora off stage, to be fair. So you don't know what you're talking about, Jeff. And
do you really want to cut this letter, or do you want to leave it in?
No, you know what? I don't have a problem talking about this. Okay.
Me neither. I bombed.
I thought the question about how humor has changed was a worthwhile conversation.
Well, humor hasn't changed.
It's the people that police humor. Humor is still the same. And we all find the same things. I think a lot of us find the same things funny, even if we're not supposed to. Like, if one of us tells a joke that's not right, you know, we still laugh, right. But we say, don't put that on Twitter.
Okay.
Or we say, is this joke too bad? Call Sharon. Ask her. See if she would say it.
And you know, and it's also just like growing as a person and growing as an artist and, you know, learning that just because something might get a laugh doesn't necessarily mean that you should put it in your act or you should say it, period. Because sometimes it's not worth it because it either may hurt people, and you're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear that in the audience from the people who are hurt by it. They're not the ones you hear. The ones you hear are the ones who are laughing, but those people are still being hurt silently. And it also is like, it comes down to like privilege and all of these things. And so, yes, funny is funny, but it's also like, I never want to be putting out work that is diminishing anyone or making anybody feel less than, ever. That's my intention.
Which is why I helped you with your nails. I didn't want people to see you like that in that state. I was the Utica of the roast.
Well, what do you mean? You bombed?
I did bomb, but I...
Wait, what do you mean the Utica of the roast?
I glued your nail back on, apparently.
Oh, you were the nice girl of the season.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm known for.
Well, the thing about the... And I also feel this about the Pandora Box stuff. Is it like Pandora Box sort of became like a punching bag and sort of was like an easy target for everyone in the roast. And so she did. She got fed up and she was like, you guys, this sucks. Fuck you guys. And she left the stage.
Yeah, I mean, some people, as you get older, your skin gets thinner as a rule, and you lose collagen. So you may not be able to take the jokes as hard, but we all knew what the event was. We know what a roast is, but like some jokes can be more pointed than others.
And I think the thing about the, and just to like cap off this question,
Jeff,
one of the things that has changed is I don't think that the drag roast is going to be something that we see a lot of, moving forward into the next age of, I just don't see how that would work, because the purpose of it was to sort of really go in. Yes, really go in and be offensive. And so, like, I don't foresee, like, I don't know. Would you do a roast if you got invited to do one?
Hell yeah. Because you I love roast because there are ways to make things funnier than just going with the normal thing. Like,
right.
I
would do it too.
I like the challenge of it. And I would love to do a mom roast eventually with all the mom girls, you know? Like a mom roast tour.
That's a good idea. That's $1 million idea.
Yeah, because like we all know each other and you know, we don't have to invite people.
Why don't we move on to our next letter?
Ooh, yeah. This is from T. Hello, Alaska.
T.
From Alaska. Hello, Alaska, Willem, Big Dipper, and possible esteemed guests. I'm a longtime listener. I really love all the fun insights and breaking news updates you ladies provide for Drag Race. I'm writing to ask you your advice about proposing to my boyfriend of 3 years. Mm-hmm. I want it to be a beautiful surprise, but I don't know how his ring size, so it is making it really difficult to get the correct size without him finding out. I'm about to ask. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice on how to figure out his ring size so I can keep it a surprise? P.S. Attached are some personal drip pics for you to peruse while pondering my question. I hope you still enjoy looking at it while describing it vividly to your listeners on Hot Goss.
Hot Goss.
Honey, this joystick looks like it needs to go for a ride. It's slick and ready.
It is standing straight upward, and in the second picture, it's covered in a fresh coat of jizz glaze. It looks like a glazed donut.
There's a crispy cum crackling coating.
Yes. The bell is hairy.
Big head. Big old head.
Uh-huh. Big old head.
Looks like a gavel.
Pointing straight upward. Thick, mighty, majestic, and strong. Mm-hmm. I've completely forgotten the question. What? Oh, ring size.
I have advice. You could always have a ring that you're wearing and tell him like do you know your ring size? I need to get this ring refitted for myself. Be like, try this on, see if this fits on your finger. You could always just do it casually like that. Or while they're asleep, you could measure their finger. Sometimes to find out if erections were happening at night, people would say, put a roll of stamps, like some stamps around a guy's dick, like when you used to lick stamps. And then if it broke during the night, that meant he was getting nocturnal erections.
Who does it?
People with erectile dysfunction, they were told to
check. Okay.
Yeah. Or okay. You could get any of his rings that he might wear, trace it on a paper, take it to a jeweler, put it in a bottle, it'll wash up on shore, and you could buy a ring.
Or, you know, and this might not be the most romantic, but it would be the most secretive way of doing it, is you guess and get like a starter ring, and then you with the understanding that you will take it and get it resized perfectly. Ooh, ooh,
ooh. What if you put plaster of Paris in your hole, get him to finger you real quick, and then go to Jared's?
I knew it was good. It could only be Jared.
Ooh, cut his finger off. And take it to the mall. That'll work.
Take it to the mall. Take it to the mall. Take it to the mall. Cut off the finger. Take it to the mall. Take it to the mall.
Take it to the mall.
Jared. K. Jewelers. K. Yes. Okay, jewelers. The next message. Do we have time for the last message?
Yeah, might as well.
I like the pictures because I'm in one of them.
Ooh, where are they?
From Fede, Your Excellencies, Alaska Willem, and Most Honorable Big Dipper. I am an Italian living in Berlin and a longtime fan of the pod ever since my psycho ex introduced me to it a couple of years ago. We're good for that. At least he did something good, I guess. Anyways, here in Germany, gyms have been closed for a while, and I have been toying with the idea of getting some help to get back in shape in time for summer. Help as in a cycle, but I don't know if I can say it.
If you can
say it.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Let's be clear. I'm not unhappy with my look, but I would like to just get a little extra boost at the gym to get the bod that I want. I want your bod. Hot bod. Fierce bod. I want your bod. Body fantasies. Okay, sorry. The bod that I want that I couldn't really get because of closed gyms. However, my friends, when I mentioned it, went ballistic that it is a spiral and that it is incredibly bad for you. What is bad for you? An exercycle?
No, steroids. Cycle meaning a cycle HGH or propane.
Oh, I'm going to keep reading. Okay. I thought he meant like a bicycle in his house. Like, it's not, yes,
a cycle.
Yes, that Peloton commercial was tone deaf, but I don't think it's a spiral of doom. Okay. Although a lot of people just do it, it is still a big stigma in society. I mostly see it like plastic surgery, and I know Lasky's position on that. Excuse me?
So she wants to read too. Her position is face down, knocked out, outpatient.
And just like plastic surgery needs to be performed by professionals. What is your take on it? Is it a reasonable thing, or am I just a victim of the pressure that gay culture puts on us and should just be happy without any additional help? Attach some dick pics, my Grindr profile pic, a bathroom selfie I just took, and a memory of one of the best nights of my life. I know it is a controversial topic, but I would really appreciate your opinion. Italian love from Berlin, Fede. Well, the dick doesn't need steroids, I can say that right now.
No, the dick has all the growth it needs.
Human growth hormone.
A smattering of hair complementing the base. Can I talk about this smoky Tina Burner eye on you and this big blonde hair? You look beautiful in this picture.
I look pretty. What's going on? Where is that? I like the makeup. I like the hair. I love the... I'm wearing a gold glove with a black Santiali dress.
Yeah, that could be literally any one of your gigs.
Yes, you're right. It's absolutely good. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay, I think if people want to do a cycle, they just need to be aware of all the things that can go wrong. They need to get an endocrinologist and talk to them. They need to talk to a hormone expert. Like, because a lot of men do cycles later as they lose testosterone in their mm-hmm. like natural stuff. And I can, this guy's body is sickening in the pictures that he showed us. So I can see getting addicted to like getting results like this, because I'm sure he didn't always look like this and you want to go more and go further. I'd say do what makes you happy, but do it under the supervision of a gay doctor who understands that you're going to do this one way or another. So let's get it supervised, you know, because it can yeah. fuck with your balls. It can fuck with your livers and your kidneys. It can lead
and
to
your mood. Can't it? Like, can't, and your mental state. Mm-hmm. That's messing with your hormones, like your internal like juices and stuff. I don't know.
It can also mess with your sperm count too. Your juices, literally. So there's lots of things to consider, but thank you for supporting drag and showing us your penis.
You can do a sperm count in your mouth. You could tell how many are in there.
Ooh, we got a lot of boys.
Ooh, 245. Okay, oh, yeah.
The XYs are chewy, but the XXs are great.
You perform sperm spinning as one of your...
Honey, I got a centrifuge right in the back of my throat.
Dipper is making a centrifuge with his finger, telling us to wrap the fuck up.
I said on your hoverboard.
Because we, oh, okay. I thought you were telling us to wrap it up.
Well, we can do both, actually. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Hot. Do you have any advice for Mr. Boyd?
I think it's a... I think that if you're going to do something like that, I think your advice is perfect, and do not proceed. It can be very dangerous. Do not proceed without medical advice. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you have to work out when you do steroids. I know some people that just like do them and then sometimes like, oh yeah, they don't work out as hard, but the steroids will help. It's no, you need to work out.
No.
Yeah, so if you do them, don't get lazy. Don't get lazy like us. We're podcasters.
Right, exactly. Thank you so much for listening to Hot Girls. And thank you to Vanity for joining us for the Tips Bar.
Tips Bar. Hey, baby. You can send your questions.
We'll be paying in NFTs only, and we will be pooling the Bitcoin and the NFTs tonight, ladies. I'm very sorry, but we will be.
And we are not doing personal contact, so please take off your Mitzi, hold it in front of you, and we'll deposit your NFTs inside the Mitzi.
The Mitzi, yes.
Once the Mitzi is filled with coin, please ensconce it back on your head and leave. Leave. And if you have any questions about the procedure, you can send them to racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. Inquiries, yeah. No solicitation accepted.
Yes. We have bonus video content available at patreon.com/Willem. Just search using the hashtag racechaser and you can watch the videos a la carte. We just filmed some new stuff that should be up by next week. Very exciting things.
Just need to correct the red eye. And we will continue to release some of our Patreon content from 2019 for free now, also on YouTube. Alaska has a YouTube channel, and so do I. And if you subscribe to them and hit the bell icon, you'll get notifications of when we have new content.
That's right. And you can follow us all on Instagram at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000, at RaceChaserPod, and at Mom Podcasts.
The link on RaceChaserPod also has lots of resources and places to donate money in support of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Wear a mask, wash your hands, stay safe and healthy.
And we will be back next week with more.
Hot Goss is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is graciously provided by ATF Enterprises.
This Goss is hot.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.